Yes. I'm sure if Neil's watching, he's going, sweet. Awesome. If you didn't know what that was, that's called the presence of God. That's called His anointing. I'll tell you, we get so used to that here that it becomes second nature. I mean, it's like, you know, well, go to a religious church and you'll see. Sweet anointing. God is so good. Now I got to preach. Title of the message, Did God Really Say? I'm amazed just watching how God orchestrates everything. The music, every song. If you all knew what I know, what God wants me to bring forth, you would all been just more jumping up and down than you were jumping up and down. It's an amazing thing how we just watch God take care. You know, one of the biggest battles anybody in here is going to have is that thing that's between your ears. Always tries to bring out the insecurity that each of us have. You know, and I make that statement, and maybe some's here say, well, I'm not insecure. Well, everybody fights every day to some degree of insecurity. I don't care who you are or how perfect you think you've got it together. Some can deal with some things, bold and strong, but everybody, something that comes up that the enemy uses in your life to try to talk to you, to bring you down from who you really are. And the songs we had, I think it was the third one that Krista sang, I mean, that song, folks, if you could get that in your heart and be able to express that on an ongoing basis, it'll slowly adjust how you think and how you are and who you are in yourself. We so much listen to the wrong voices. And God's always, you know, it's a funny thing. Years ago when I first heard somebody say, you know, did what God say to you? I'm thinking, whoa, where'd you jump off the truck at? Because, you know, I was never taught that God speaks to us. And then after you get in the Word and you study the Word, He is always, I mean, it's a nonstop communications. The problem that we have is that we have so much, I'm reading a book by Steve Furtick, and I'm going to try to get it in the bookstore. It's called Chatterbox, Breaking the Chatterbox. And so I got so into his book that I said, well, I'll never be able to do what he's done with it because he wrote a book about it. But folks, we have chatter going on in our ears all the time. And the enemy is watching for every little insecurity that you've got and I've got, and he's speaking to you in those insecurities. And he's talking to you about those things that you don't feel like you're good enough. You don't feel like that you've done it well enough. Wednesday night was, for me, now this is my side of my chatterbox that was going on. For me, that message was one of the hardest ones that I've done in years. But yet I allowed the enemy to come in and talk to me, you know, see, you don't really have it. See, you can't really do it. See, since you had the problem a few months back, you're still not quite where you need to be. See, I mean, that's chatter. That's chatter. And pastors get that a lot after the sermon because that's just the enemy is always talking. But folks, I'm not saying this in pride. There's not very many sermons that has been a disaster in this church. God has graced me to be able to express in my own simple way a word that grabs somebody's heart. Now, you may have got left out this time, but somebody else will get something. But see, what happens is we allow that chatter, and I don't care what your field is or what you do or where you work or where you're retired. I don't care what's going on. The enemy always comes in, and if you make any mistake, I don't care if you're driving down the road and you happen to not be paying attention, you almost get across the lane. The enemy's going to speak. Because, see, we have to get to the place of understanding that we have got to override the chatter with the Word of God. A simple message, but a deep message, because we all battle until the day we're out of here. You know, sometimes we don't think God answers prayers. The Word says He always answers prayer. So who are we to even let that thought come through and then be out of our mouth? We were talking before service. The hardest thing that we have as elders, as teachers, as leaders, is teaching and expressing what the Word says about healing. Because not everyone gets what they think they should be getting. Oh, you're all healed? But that does not negate the truth of the Word that needs to be in our heart and needs to be expressed out of our mouth and needs to be meditated on and needs to be the answer when you have an ache and a pain and not the complaint. Because until we get to that place of understanding, it is done. It is accomplished. The enemy keeps talking. And I'm not saying you'll get that healing here. The best healing any of us could get is to die. I didn't get very many amens on that one. Paul said, to die is to gain. Now, why do I say that? Because we all think this is it. We all do our everyday, get up and go to work, and we all do our thing, and we think this is it. Folks, this is nothing but a passing through. The Bible expresses at a vapor, just a pfft. Our healing and our complete wholeness will be executed and being in operation when you are in heaven where nothing is battling you. You are the total victor. You have won. It's not here. Listen to me. While you're here, it's how you walk through it. And He always walks you through it. It's like Jake back there. Just because his hair's gone, that doesn't mean anything. It grows character, doesn't it, Jake? And he could say without even shaving it off, I didn't have to go to Uptown Barber. See, everything we walk through, God is always talking us through. Did you hear that? Everything you're walking through in your life, good or bad, He is walking you through. God was with Laura and the team today because we needed extra grace because our leader that's here was not here today. So God said, they need a little extra touch. Now Neil's got to deal with, if he's watching. Neil's got, they don't even need me. That's chatter. What are you talking about? You, the one that matured them and grew them up. But see, you've got to get your mindset to always come back to the truth. Listen to this, John 8:44, if you want to write that down. The New Living Translation, which I sure have been spending a lot of time, I guess I found the simple translation for the simple mind, I don't know. He has always hated, now we're talking about the enemy. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is the liar and the father of all lies. There, maybe I better not say that. Yeah, I'm going to say it. There are some politicians that I've already met their father. There are some people that you've already met their father. See, if there's any condemnation, if there's any lie, which is not the truth, the whole truth, you know, it's amazing how at the very beginning, the serpent, Satan, said to Adam and Eve, did God really say? All he was doing was planting a thought into your mind so that then he could work with that thought. See, anytime it doesn't go like you feel comfortable with, immediately the enemy will come back to you and say, but did God really say he would take care of you? Did God really say he would heal you? I know people that died I know people that suffered terribly. On and on. You should have done this. You should have done that. When Connie and I can say Connie and I because we both have to walk through things with her health. When we started walking through this arthritis that she's been battling, it is amazing how the number of people that have made comments to her and I that we didn't have enough faith. Well, I don't know who I'm talking to out here, but if you're battling anything that you're not getting over, it's so easy for your mind to say, but if you only believed. See, did God really say he would heal everybody? Well, he healed everybody while he was on this earth. And he says in his words that he's taking care of all our diseases. Well, why isn't it manifested right now? Maybe we have a misunderstanding of when the manifestation is supposed to come about. And besides that, you are in a cursed world. There will not be another cursed world besides this one. When you get out of here, when you're gone from here, you are in heaven. There'll be no aches and no pains and no sorrow. We can't even imagine that because we have never, anybody here, had that ecstasy that is there. But God. It's always but God. See, the war is in my mind. And my mind is what determines my future. What I say, think, feel, spend time on today is going to affect my tomorrow. If I start continually listening to the chatter that goes on, I can't tell you how many times I would have quit this occupation, this calling. I would have walked away if I hadn't have had the word to go back to. The same with where you're probably working or doing or whatever's going on. When it doesn't, when you've had those times when you don't get the rest and those times when it seems like everybody's coming against you, then the chatter gets louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. And what's amazing about that chatter is when that chatter's going on, you can't hardly hear God. You have got to get so grounded in the Word. You've got to get so grounded. That's why when I see people miss church a lot, I go, you don't understand what you're doing. Because you're setting yourself up for the chatter to be louder than God's voice. And he's not stopped talking to you. And just because you did something wrong doesn't mean you separated from his presence. There's nowhere in the word it says that. That's one of the things that I was taught accidentally maybe, is that if I made a mistake, then I've walked away from God. And his presence is not with me. That's a lie. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. I'm the one that stepped away. I'm the one that got the chatter. I'm the one that listened to all the nonsense that wasn't really even real. Or the stuff that was part truth. And there was truth in it. So you really leaned into that one. Did God say? Did he really say? It's amazing how that's been so twisted in our minds to what was going on. You know, he perverts the truth. He puts condemnation instead of adoration. God only gives you adoration. He only lifts you up. He only is working with you. Well, what about when I do something wrong? The enemy's the one that's beating you up. That's that chatter. Because you made the mistake, so he's going to use your mistake. But all the while, God is saying, you're forgiven, son. You're forgiven, daughter. You are forgiven. You recognize your mistake. I'm going to help you be stronger. In yourself, you cannot overcome this problem, but I'm with you and I'll walk you through this. And it's one less time that you're going to make the mistake. Let's just keep moving on. But the enemy's going to say, you'll never make it. You're destroyed. You're not good for anything. You never happened. Folks, that's what happened in marriages. You listen to the chatter. If you would go back and get back into your vows, get back into where your heart was, get back into that love, you wouldn't have this problem. But you start listening to chatter, then you start running with people that chatter, and then they help your chatter, and then pretty soon you fell out of love. You can't fall out of love. You choose to fall out of love. Love is agape, which is unconditional. They got 20% maybe of their life that's a mess that you're married with, but you fell in love with the 80. So then you leave that because of that 20, and then you run into somebody that's got another 20. They don't have the 80 this person had. So the war goes on and on, and where's it go on at? Right here between your mind, because the enemy is looking for every avenue he can. God's voice says, I am. I will. He has. I can. He says, I am. I am all you need. I will. I've always been willing. It's always been that way. He has, I can and have done everything for you already on the cross. It's been finished. It's complete. Jesus Christ died for everything. His blood was shed for every sin that will ever come through or manifest in your life. It's done. Jesus was tempted in every way that you'll ever be tempted. He just did not allow it to manifest in his life. He heard it, he thought it, he just didn't entertain it. Because you'll do nothing wrong until you've entertained it long enough to do it. I didn't get any amens on that one either. And I can, and he always will can. Well, I want to talk to you today. That's the introduction. I'm going to be here a while today. Let's just talk about the I am. Those insecurities that tells us that you're not. Those things that happen in your life that says, well, if God really loved me, this wouldn't have happened. Where did you learn that, first of all? The Bible says that you are in Christ. The Bible says that once you believe, that is all that is required. Did you hear me? The rest of what you do is because you want to do, because you find out who you are. And you find out that what's in this book blesses you, lifts you up, repairs you, brings you forward. Anything outside of this book destroys and pulls you down. So you are I am. No matter what the enemy tells you in your insecurity in your life, it doesn't matter. See, sometimes that view can be so twisted in our life, those insecurities, that we start thinking God is that way. We start living in our insecurities. You know, think about, there's so many situations. Think about somebody that just intimidates you. Just you don't like to be around them, and you just, why are you letting them bother you? Because of your insecurity of not knowing who you are in Christ. Because you have the power, you have the fullness, you have everything you need to face that giant in your life right then. So why are we allowing that insecurity to let the enemy say, oh, I don't want to be around them? Well, of course you don't. But maybe you're supposed to be around them to grow up. Maybe you're supposed to be around them to take that insecurity away while another one will come up, because we all have them. We've got to learn to face what God's got us walking through, because I will never allow anything to come upon you, the word says, unless I know you're going through it. If you can't go through it, you'll never have to face it. It's what the word says. So I can come to the place of knowing that in my heart, and then when something hits, I can go, oh God, how are you going to get me through this? Because you will. And you are, and I'll make it. Now, why do you say that, Pastor? Because that's what the Word says about me, because I am in Christ. And it's not me going through anyway. It's Christ that's in me going through it. It's like forgiving someone. I, in my flesh, and in my mind, will, and emotions, cannot forgive some of the stuff that's happened in my life. Forget it. What they did to our life and what they did to things that's going on in our lives, no way. Things that people have said, no way. But it's not me that's forgiving. I have forgiven because Christ forgave through me. He forgave that person for what they said. He forgave that judge, that lawyer that's lied to us. He forgave all these people that have destroyed, thinks he's destroyed our life. I have, but I really haven't. Neither have you. Because it's Christ that does the forgiveness. It's Christ that does the forgiveness. But only because I am in Christ. I'm born again. I'm spirit-filled. God flows through me when I allow him, but he's always there. He never leaves me. And when I forgive, I'm forgiving because he forgave. And as he forgave, I forgive because I'm in Christ. You got to know this. You got to get this, because when things come up, you got to go, no. When finances, all of a sudden you get a bill that you didn't know you was going to get. All of a sudden your tax jumped up 30%. All of a sudden your car had a flat tire. All of a sudden. Well, we had a We had a nice GMC Terrain, and all of a sudden, all the computers and all the screen on the dash went whoop, blacked out. Well, I had still had 14,000 miles warranty. So I called the dealer, and I said, the radio and everything quit. Well, we're sorry. The warranty doesn't cover your radio. Well, listen, the radio is not what broke. The radio just don't work because there's nothing, no sending no signal to it from the computer. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't deal with that. So what do? Okay, God, I forgive. Come on. It's every day. Why didn't you trade it off earlier before it broke? And then if I would have traded it off, well, what happened is we got a different car. We bumped up 1 year. We're still 5 years old, but we bumped up 1 year. But I seen this car in the parking lot, and I went, oh, Connie, that's exactly what I've been looking for. Because, you know, I'm a car guy. You wouldn't give a rip, but that's my hobby. Anyway, so they weren't open, so I said, well, come back tomorrow. On the way home, the computer went, shoo. Well, then I found out they wouldn't fix it, the other dealer. But if I would have sold it that day that I seen it and heard that the computer went out, then the chatter would have started. You knew it was going out. They thought you knew it was going out. But I went in and said, guess what? And I explained the situation and went, oh, well, that might change the figures. I said, well, I figured that. But if you continue to listen to God, God will prevail. Because God has the best for you in every situation, every circumstance. He always does. He always wants to take care of you. Go, if you will. Everybody grab your Bible. If you've got a phone that's got a Bible, go there. Don't go on Facebook right now, please. You're disturbing your neighbor if you've got your Facebook on, and you're disturbing me. Jeremiah 1, everybody knows this. I was reading this, and it just hit me a different way than it's ever hit me before. And everybody knows this scripture. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, came to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, everybody knows that. Everybody's heard that scripture through the abortion situation. You know what? It doesn't make any difference what Jeremiah is going to do or has done before. See, we get into this works. We get into this where the enemy talks to us and tells us we're not doing enough, and we're not doing this, and we're not doing that. We get drawn the wrong way in our doings because we think in our mind that our doings is going to allow God to help us do more. Doesn't say that. He said, before you were even thought about, I already knew about your problems. I already knew the people that's going to give you a hard time, Jeremiah. I already knew that you're a whiner and a complainer. I already knew that you're a tough prophet. I already knew, but I don't care about all those things. I already knew those things. So, Jeremiah, this is what you're going to do. It's no different than your life. God already knew tomorrow. He already knew what you were going to be doing, but he picked you. So, what difference does it make? Now, that doesn't give you the right to go out and sin. This is where grace is in. You got to grab grace. Grace says, I know him. I know where he's going to go. I know the mistakes he's going to make along life, but I know that we're going to walk. He's going to walk through them with me. I already know his decisions of accepting me. I already know every hair on your head, the Bible says he knows about, and every hair that disappeared and coming back. He already knew all that. So you've got to come to the place of understanding that all this chatter, you've got to just get it out of your life so you can have a peaceful life. Because the chatter is pulling you down, not God. The circumstance may be pulling you down, but it's not God. It's the chatter in the circumstances pulling you down. Well, things aren't happening just like I want them to happen. It's not you. You're in Christ. We're talking about being I am. We're talking about He's everything. He's all of our life. We're talking about Jeremiah complained. Jeremiah got, read the book and just what he went through as a prophet. But God knew everything. God knew that Peter was going to deny Christ. But yet, God had a way of restoring Peter. Where's Peter? He said. I'm concerned about Peter. Peter's okay. He already knew he was okay. Y'all, you grabbing this? Listen, it's just an amazing thing. He knows my ins. He knows my outs. He knows my mistakes. He knows when I'm going to get off track. He knows when I'm going to think a thought that I shouldn't be thinking. He knows when I'm going to entertain those thoughts. But he also knows that the more I'm in this word, the less problems I'm going to have. And he already knows that I'm going to get out of those problems because I'm going to get into the word. Because see, folks, once you are born again, you are sealed. Once you are born again, he's got you. And you may choose some rough spots in your life, but all we've got to do is get back to the place of knowing that he is my I am. He is your I am. He is everything you'll ever need. He is the answer to all that's going on. You got to know that it can't affect where I'm already going to go. I may go through some rough roads. I may end up on a rock road in the back. I may end up having to get out of the car and climb around to get to back on the interstate. But I'm going to get back on the interstate because I love the Lord. I have a heart for the Lord. I'm doing the best I can do. I'm going to quit listening to the enemy saying, you didn't do a very good job tonight. You didn't study enough. I studied all I got time to study. You got to come back, folks. You got to come back with that chatter, and you got to tell that chatter to shut up. You know, my dad just came to my mind. He worked 30 plus years, 39 years or so, at the coal mines. Was an assistant superintendent up there at the very end. Well liked. Some didn't like him, but that's how it is in life. But well, had the knowledge of coal mining and knew what to do to keep things going. We usually produced more coal on second shift than they did on day shift. I mean, he was good. He left. They didn't even say goodbye. Now you think of the chatter. Still to this day, he struggles with it. And those that worked around him that didn't recognize him. Do we need recognition? Well, God recognizes us. Do you need honor and picked up and encouraged? Sure you do. Now, if you have to have it to keep going, like if this message got over and nobody come up and said a word to me, it shouldn't make any difference to me whatsoever. But does it help to be encouraged? Does it help to lift up the name of Jesus for somebody? Does it? Of course it does, because that helps the chatter get away. You know, God really used you today. I hope so. Because it's not, when you get the mindset that you are in him, rest of this stuff doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't. And you sometimes it's very lonely when you're there because you're not listening to all the garbage. But when you got God, you don't need nothing else. We got to come to that place of understanding. It's all taken care of. You know, a little side note in the midst of this. Don't allow yourself to compare yourself with anybody else. Or that insecurity that he uses is going to grow to the place that the enemy will devour you. Because see, there is nobody like me. And some out there are saying, well, we're glad of that. But there's nobody like you. And I don't want to be you. It's an amazing thing. I mean, I'm really impressed with Steve Furtick in his teaching ability and where God has taken him and how he's being used right now. I mean, he'll have a sermon on YouTube that'll have 300 and 400 hits where 300,000 or 400,000 people have listened to it. Not 300,000 or 400,000. 300,000 or 400,000 people have listened to it. And it's so easy for these pastors, like in these small towns, well, I got a long way to go. But then you hear his stories and you start hearing his life and you see he's been in this since the beginning of time. He wasn't that way at the beginning. He matured, he's growing, and he's still growing. I'm not Steve Furtick. I'm not Kenneth Hagin. Everybody used to try to imitate Kenneth Hagin. There was only one Kenneth Hagin. And the list goes on and on and on in your life. People you work with, you wish you was as good as. No, you are in Christ. There's nobody like you. And when you get that settled in, there's nobody going to affect you with that chatter. Because that's what it is. People will say something against you, and it's got to be an immediate, no, I know who I am. One lady on television said that Connie and I were monsters. We had to have been monsters to raise children like we raised. That lasted about that long with me. Give me a break. I know who I am in Christ, and he can fix me. I hope he can fix you. God is a big God. You know, what about, folks, what about Mary? Let's just go there. I told you I was going to be a while. You say, you better get done now. Everybody's preaching now. Gets done real quick so I can go wherever I got to go. That's the amazing part about that. So I can go set. Or so I can go get something that I want done. Matthew 3. Look at this. Matthew 3, 16, 17. I'm getting there. I'm on Jesus right now. Hang on. Talking about Jesus. Listen to this. When he was baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water. Now listen. And behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. Listen to what it says. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This was prior to, I got ahead of myself. This is prior to his ministry. You say, well, yeah, but he was Jesus. He's the Son of God. I understand that, but it's still before he was. And that's the point I want to get across of anything today. It's before. You were already blessed. You were already favored. You were already taken care of. You were already set apart. You were already taken care of. All because God seen you before you are now. So as you are, I am, he is, I am in your life. He's everything for you, and you are everything for him. He's totally taken care of you. You are already established. You are already sealed. You are already taken care of. Folks, we've got nothing to prove. You're all so quiet. We've got nothing to prove. All we have to do is just believe and know that this is all true about us. I am righteous. I am born again. I am a believer. I am victorious. I have courage. I am an overcomer. I have defeated the enemy. I have all health and healing. I have all the prosperity I'll ever need. He's met every need that I've ever had, and he always will. Maybe I'm going through a hard time right now, but you got people around you that's going to help you walk through it. I mean, we had a man here that went totally busted, got fired, no money, but yet God brought him through, and now he's got a job that pays him probably twice as much as he was making, plus insurance. He's better off. Everything's better. Why? Because he said, I know God's got something better. I've got tithers' rights. I know it's going to be okay. I seen the Barons yesterday, and they brought their tithe to the church. And one of the statements they said, we're going to be okay. We got tithers' rights. Amen. See, instead of the enemy going, she'll never get better. You're not good for anything. You won't make it. See what happens. See what happens. See what happens. She'll never gain that strength in her left arm again. See what happens. See what happens. I got her down now. I'm going to get you down too. No, instead they say, hey, here's God's money. Amen. I've got tithers' rights, and we expect total healing in this. See, that's living, hearing God's voice, not listening to the chatter. Is it work? I guarantee you it's work. You've got to battle the elements all of the time. Why wouldn't you? And we're only, yeah, you got to remember, we're only here for a short time, folks. We're only here. Now, I was talking about Mary. Go to Luke. I want you to see this. I'm going to close. I really am. Go to Luke chapter 1, very beginning. Everybody knows this. We hear it every, we hear the story all the time. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. This is when the angel speaks to Mary. I love this. And it says, having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Okay, now, what just happened? The word of the Lord just went into her heart. This is the word of the Lord that goes into your heart. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with her. Blessed are you among women. She's blessed. Listen to what it says, though. The normal reaction that would come out of all of us at the very beginning of anything you're going into is, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and considered what matter of greeting it was. When you're going through something, you do the same thing, so don't feel bad about that thought. Just don't entertain that chatter. Get that chatter out of your mind, out of your heart, and follow what it goes on to say. Look at verse 37. Chase down to 37. Mary goes and says, how's all this going to happen? How's this going to take place? The normal stuff that we go through. But he said to her, for with God, nothing will be impossible. That's a word for you. Nothing will be impossible for what you're going through. Just don't listen to the chatter. Just don't listen to people that are negative. Just don't listen to those ones that are trying to pull you down. When this church first started, we heard it all the time. Oh, it's an occult. It'll never make it. Give me a break. We got 30 plus years here. And God is still growing and still maturing, and we're still going, and thousands of lives have been touched because God said, yes, there will be. When we walked this land and claimed this land, we did it because God spoke to Ed Spiller's heart and mine, walk this land, it's yours. We had went all over looking for land. I even got bit by a pit bull right here, still got a scar. Looking for land, and that's when I said, okay, God, I'm out of the picture here. Where's your land? Well, that was just down the road. I didn't realize that this land right here was coming up. Then God opened up some land for the Reeds, and Jim Reed, who was in charge at that time, said to me, you want the top or the bottom? He was going to church here. You want the top or the bottom? Well, we'll take the top. So I did the dirt work for him, for most of it for him. And because we did the dirt work, we got the land. That's all because God said. But the chatter was, it's an occult. It'll never make it. It's not a real church. It doesn't have a denomination. Yeah, we do. We're Christians. And the chatter doesn't stop us. And we still have some of the dumbest stuff said about us. I'm not even going to bring them up. Try not to. I'm not going to. Nothing will be impossible. Stand on that. Then Mary said, now listen to what Mary said. This has got to be our response in the midst of the war. And Mary said, behold, the maidservant. You don't have to be a maidservant if you're a man, but of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to what word? I'll back up here. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you. That's what she is. So whatever I'm going to be going through, think about what she went through, folks. In a time when they stoned ladies that got pregnant without a man being with them, or with them, they stoned without being married. She faced this situation knowing, whatever you said, I believe. Whatever you said, I'm accepting. Whatever you see, folks, the Bible says that I am in Christ. So I am in Christ. No matter how I feel, I'm in Christ. I'm at that place of being in. Folks, listen. It's all the way back. It's all the way back. Let's just go, and I'm going to close. I am going to close. Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Look what it says in 2:16 and 17. Back up just a little bit right there. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." See how that got twisted? Now, he does go on and say, "And the Lord said, it is not 17. But the tree, don't," and it says, "but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you shall eat it you shall surely die." The enemy said, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Chatter, folks. Because the truth was, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. He threw a question in your knowing. He threw the question in their knowing. Just enough truth to get you thinking, and then he started bombarding you with all of, "Look how nice it looks. Look how good that is. Oh, you'll have so much fun." It's kind of the same thing, folks, listen to me, that's happening with the drug situation. We know the destruction that alcohol does. We know how crazy people get when they drink. We know how many lives are lost from alcohol. So the enemy's bringing in pot, saying it's not as bad. And it's not. People are mellow, people are laid back, but it's still a mind-altering drug. But see, the enemy has brought it in and said, "Did God not say, don't get drunk, but you could do this over here because it'll make you cope better?" No. Christ is the one that makes you cope. Now, I'm not coming against either one. I don't care what you do. I'm just giving you info of how the enemy's working. Listen to me. I know the policemen will tell you they'd much rather drive in on a party that where they're smoking pot than drinking beer, because they're all just laid back and eating pizza. But that's what the enemy is doing. Some of you are laughing. It's like you've all been there. But listen to me. It's still mind-altering, but so is caffeine. So is coffee, Laura and Ronnie. Hey! So is cigarettes, nicotine. So is bubble gum, sugar. So is Pepsi Cola. Come on. But it's how the enemy slow. So is Monster drink. Oh. Well, come on. It's all mind altering, and I'm not coming against any of them. I'm just telling you, it's how the enemy works. He is saying, this is not as bad, because that's what he was saying to them. You know, he said you couldn't eat. Did he really say you couldn't eat nothing? You couldn't eat none of these trees? That's not what he said at all. He said, eat them all, but not this one. Because he knew the problems would start when you know the difference. Think about it. There would be no chatter if there was no evil. See, they found the difference between good and evil. If it was all God, it would have all been good from then on. We would have all heard God's voice in everything that we do and all that's going on. But the chatter is what we get now because of that fall. Because he tricked you like he's trying to trick you every day. It's no different, folks, than what we watch on television and what goes on We are slowly. I watched the old Jurassic Park for a few minutes last night, and seeing the difference in the graphics there and the graphics in some of the new stuff, the new Kong movie, for example, the graphics are just so good that it's just, if you've got a sensitive stomach, you'll have trouble watching it. But what's that? It's desensitizing you to the place where you can deal with those real demons that are going to show up one of these days, and the real hostility that's going on in this world. When it shows up, you're going to be like, oh, that's no problem. Even though the liar is so deceptive that the word says that when we finally see Satan, we're going to go, that's really who you are? When all he's doing is deceiving us, did God really say? I'm telling you, God really said all of this. And the more of this you get in you, the more of this you get in you, the more sermons you listen to of right truth, the more you get in you, the more you can say to the enemy when the chatter comes on, no, that's not true. God loves me. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. I give the best I can do. That's all I can do. What difference does it make? That's all I can do. Well, yeah, but that's why they told Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, don't look on the people. Because sometimes I can look out and it's like, oh my gosh. Like, you can't pay attention to that. I'm not inside there. See, that's how the enemy works. I'm not inside them as they're listening to what's being said. Folks, God is a big God. And we've got to come to the place of knowing who we are in Christ. He is wanting to take care of you. No, Romans 8:16 says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You are the children of God. There's nothing can change that. I don't care. We sang about it. We sang about it. There's nothing that can say. I don't care what you did or what you might do tomorrow or what you might do when you leave here or what you might think. None of that has nothing to do with it. You just continue loving God and putting in more of this than that's coming in from the world, and you'll get stronger. Whichever dog you feed, that's the dog that's going to get the strongest. And our responsibility is to get this in us the best way or any way we can to learn what God's got for us so we can know who we are in Christ. Let's stand up. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we know who we are. We know your word says that we are in Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you are the great I am. And we thank you, Father, you are everything we'll ever need. Father, help us to recognize the chatter. Anything that does not lift us up, does not build us up, Father, help us to put the word in place of that thought to eliminate that chatter. Because anything's good, anything that's pleasing is you behind it, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. If anybody here is battling with that constant chatter, I just speak healing to their mind right now. And I thank you, Lord, that they are being delivered by the word on this day. And we thank you. Chatter is not of you. You are everything we'll ever need or ever want to have. We thank you for it, Father. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Call you blessed. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, the elders will be up front.